Hello, Minnesota boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Brian Johnson, and my co-host is Sean Strauss. In this episode, highly ranked Minnesota boxer Vishon Owens discusses his strange experience on a December 2nd, 2023 boxing card in Mexico. Owens went into the ring thinking he was fighting an exhibition, but that's not how it played out. In the eighth round, the referee stopped the quote fight after Owens was hit on the back of the head, giving his opponent the quote win. Roughly 6 weeks later, BoxRec.com posted the fight as a TKO loss for Owens, a highly questionable blemish on the Minnesota boxer's record. Owens hasn't said much publicly about the bizarre events of December 3rd until now. In addition, Owens breaks the news about his relocation plans and talks about his recent eye surgery. Hear all about it in this wide-ranging interview, which kicks off the fifth season of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. Bonus content. Owens is a big basketball fan, and the guys talk a little hoops, with a focus on the NBA Western Conference leading Minnesota Timberwolves. I hope you enjoy the episode.
You there, Vishon?
Can you hear me?
Hey! There you are.
How are you guys feeling?
Oh, how are you doing, man? You're the one who had surgery. Now, was that today?
Yeah, it was a couple hours ago.
Oh, wow.
After that, I had to take a bunch of... I feel like they got me with horse tranquilizer.
Wow. Did everything go okay?
Everything went for him pretty well. It was real quick. They did like roughly 5 to 6 minutes on each eye. It was a fast operation. I mean, the waiting and, you know, getting everything set up was the hard part, but the actual surgery, you know, it was pretty good. You know, it went well. You know, this is like my third operation on my eyes. So you know, it was pretty good. It was a good one. I can't really complain about this one.
What exactly was it that they were fixing?
So I had a detached retina in 2020. And I had to, they told me pretty much after this, your vision is going to be completely trash. And crazy to say, I don't know. I waited until now to actually get my eyes corrected. You know, it was 2020, and when everything started to, when the world finally got the chance to go back to normal, you know, everything has happened so fast. You know, getting these jobs, you know, we started our business. You know, the business really took up a lot of my time, so I couldn't really focus on getting my eyes corrected. Then the whole boxing came about, and I wind up, you know, around that time I was jumping up weight classes and stuff. And I just didn't really, I mean, I won like my first two fights. I know I didn't really feel as good, you know. I lost a lot of weight. I was fighting at 140, but that wasn't, you know, I didn't really tell much of the story about that. But, you know, when I dropped down to 140, it wasn't purpose. I just, you know, it was 2020 and I lost a lot of weight. So I'm getting stressed out and everything. So that's what made me fight at 140 until I could actually get back to, you know, where I'm at. And now I'm walking around like, I'm a weight back. I'm walking around like 160. Not 160, but like, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, like 78. So, you know, I don't know. It's just from 2020 and now it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. And I've just been free balling life with no vision. So I just finally, I was like, man, let me just get this stuff done. I'm playing around. And so,
pretty sorry, active. Huh? Fights. The 2020 fights. I mean, you were active, and this year, you know, you had two fights. So, or sorry, last year. Now, just now that we're in 2024. Yeah, you weren't holding back. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just. I just wanted to, like, not pass up on the opportunity. I kind of felt it like I really needed this, but I didn't. More long, I should have just focused on, you know, my health and get these fixed, but I just didn't. You know, so now that I got this fixed, I'm going to be out for, like, 6 months. I'm sorry, say that again.
I was just wondering, in the ring, do you think that that affected you at all? You know, your ability at all, or just the way you felt, or anything?
Yeah. Like I said, right after the surgery, the vision was just bad. Like, I'm like, damn. But, and then fighting at a new weight class with the little guys, they were just so fast, and it was kind of hard for me to do what I wanted to do. And like I said, just the weight drop, you know, during COVID, I actually was like 137. Like that's how stressed out I was. And I think I might have actually took a picture of it. But fighting at 140, it was just, I felt like, this is not me. Why am I here? You know, and reason why I took it, I just, like I said, like, this is Minnesota. We don't get a lot of chances. You know, if we can get it, we'll take it. And even if we know that the odds are, like, against us, that's just us. You know, we're going to willing to take that because Minnesota, we're warriors. We have a bad rep because a lot of people think that we're, like, build-up fighters or whatever. But we're not. We're warriors, you know? I grew up, you know, watching Phil the Drill, Jason Litzau, you know, when he won that title. Jose and his brother, Wilton. You know, I'm like, dang, I can't wait till I turn pro. You know, because around that time, you know, we had fighters. We had people. You know, Phil has the fastest knockout in the world. You know, and now that I'm pro, like, this is it, like, going on. You know, when I got into the top 10, it was just weird. I was just getting so many offers and contracts and fights, and it was just, dang, this, you guys just think that I'm gonna just take any fight? I'm like, no, I want to legitimately be, you know, a Hall of Famer, a legend. That's what I want to do. But it's like, you know, being here, you can't really get so far, you know, if that makes sense. So,
the blessed, sure, whether it's just to get good sparring or to get better fights and train, I mean, just look at David, you know, now working with Ronnie Shields down in Texas. Robert Brandt, you know, he went down to Texas too. And I know a lot of you guys, you've gone out to places like Big Bear or California. You go wherever you can, you know, to go Omaha, you know, to Bud's camp, you know, all these guys, you go to get better sparring, better action. So I hear you there. It feels like there is kind of a ceiling here sometimes. But we're proud of the fighters we have, that's for sure. You know, and I feel you, man. I feel for all these fighters that have to do that extra stuff just to get the good work, you know. But your gym, you know, you guys work out of the Circle of Discipline. You guys help so many, so that's great. You know, a lot of up-and-coming fighters are being helped by you guys, you know.
Having the ability to, you know, train with these world-class athletes and these world champions, you know, in the same field, it, like, you know, it boosts your confidence and it makes you like, dang, you know, this is what I'm talking about. This is Minnesota. But then, you know, stuff happens and it kind of like changed the mood. It changed the atmosphere. You know, when I was younger, everybody was hungry. We all was fighters. And now that I'm a bit older, a lot of people is not around anymore. You know, life changes. And then it's like, you know, you're kind of by yourself. You're just training yourself. You run up in the morning, you know, you're by yourself. When you're in the gym hitting the bag, you're by yourself. Boxing is such a, like, a lonely sport. But it's like, it's all here, you know, when you're in that position. And, you know, the less activity, it kind of like kills the motivation. You know, you don't have that mold. You don't have that teammate to push you. Like, get up. What are you doing? Get up. It's just you. Yeah. You know, and it's just kind of like, you know, it kills it for you, you know, and now I don't have those teammates. I don't have the, you know, the coaches. I don't have, it's just me. So, but that being said, you know, about the whole, I don't know if people really noticed that, like, I was pretty quiet about, you know, the Mexico fight.
We talked about it. It sounded like there was some controversy about the last hit or something, maybe behind the head. But yeah, why don't you break it down for us?
You know, before the actual fight, you know, I talked with the promoter, and he kind of gave me the notion that it's a fight, but not a fight. And a lot of people, like, you know, behind the scenes, it's like, you know, this is an exhibition. I don't know if you guys had noticed, but, and if you guys could see, but I was everywhere. It was like commercials, the news. When I got there, people, you know, just lots of fans was there. It was like I was a celebrity. And this fight was pretty much like, it was like an exhibition because I didn't sign anything. I didn't sign a contract. I didn't have no medical records. I didn't see a doctor. And so they was like, well, this would just be an exhibition or like open sparring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though it's, so that's why, like, I don't know if you guys watched the fight. I was just lackadaisical and not really trying to kill the kid. You know, he was like, what, 19 or 21? And then it was just kind of like, I don't know, like, things wasn't really how it was supposed to be. And it was a lot of weird stuff going on, like Mexico City, which, you know, behind the scenes was just kind of a little crazy. And what kind of got me, like, extremely upset. So I didn't really complain too much about the fight or whatever, because, like I said, it was supposed to be an exhibition. That's why, you know, you guys didn't really see me speak out or talk, you know, give out, you know, early thing. Right now is January. And I believe they posted the fight. They posted on BoxRec on the 17th, and we fought on the 2nd. Mm-hmm. And it hit me. I was like, exhibition fights, you still, they put it on your record?
Mm.
And the promoter, like, kind of, like, did a one height, not a 360, but, like, a 190. Like, he kind of switched.
Mm.
I didn't get paid for the fight because, I, you know, it was pretty much like a charity or whatever, charity event or something. But a few guys told me they didn't get paid either. And I'm just like,
even though you didn't say anything, was there a verbal agreement to get paid?
So he explained, like, you know, at first he was saying like, oh yeah, this is, you know, a really good show, blah blah blah. You know, the way he was explaining, I don't know if it was just a translation thing or whatever, because he speaks English, but he was talking about this and a second fight as well, and then the second fight is going to be an actual fight because all of this last minute. And I was like, okay, but you know, you're in fight mode. This is the day before the fight or whatever. And you know, I'm just like, we should have sat down, had contracts ready for all of this. But like I said, he said, it's an exhibition. It's not a real, it's a fight, but it's not a fight. And I'm just like, just sparring. Okay, I guess, whatever. I'll just do it. So in the fight, you know, that knockdown, of course, you know, if you watch the video, they even recorded it. I got hit in the back of the head. And I guess, like, to them, I don't know if you guys speak Spanish, but the commentators pretty much was like, it was a knockdown. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. You can get hit in the balls and the dude fall. It's a knockdown. You know? And I'm just like, I know I'm by myself here. I really thought that, like, I had a team. But when I got knocked down, the first thing I noticed, nobody said anything. And I'm like, you guys aren't going to freaking contest this, you know, this behind the head thing. But I didn't really get too much into it because it's an exhibition fight.
You didn't have anyone with you? Because when I was at the Circles exhibition deal, that special deal they put on, you know, for the programs and stuff, where they had a few fights, I remember I was talking to, I can't remember if it was Kid or if it was Adonis, but somebody had said that someone was going down. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I thought he was Mexican, and I thought he was going down to be there with you. Were you by yourself completely?
He was there, but far as like the corners, the you know, the team, it was like, and then they gave me a coach that wasn't the actual coach that I trained with. So I'm not saying like, oh, this was a setup or whatever. I mean, it could have been like, when the guy got injured, they already switched me with this guy the day before he even got injured or I even said anything.
There was quite a few people on social media that were saying, and I don't, they know more than I do. They were saying it was a classic Mexican bait and switch. And, you know, like I said, they know more than I do, so I can't attest to that. But everyone seemed to think that it was shady. You were down there and all of a sudden last second, your opponent switched, you know, it was like, what's going on there? And then we hear about the behind the head thing. And it was just like, oh man, I didn't get to see it because I was trying to, there was a link provided. And when I was logging in, it said Sean Owens. It didn't say Vishon. It said Sean Owens, but then it wasn't you. I was watching something else. And I didn't end up even seeing you. So you said that the knockdown is on YouTube, though?
I have no clue. I can't even find the fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like live stream, and that was it. Like live streaming is gone. I can't see anything. They might have highlights on the, what is it called? Combat Space or some Space Combat.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and post
it. Yeah, it might have like the, but as you, as they has the highlights, what was the major, you know, plight to me is the fight's over, the bell rung, he's still punching me, and then the ref jumps in. But on video, it looks completely different because the whole fight, they cut the 10 seconds out. It was 10 seconds left, They cut it out. It was cut out, and then the bell rung. And it's like, you can actually hear it on the highlight. But the guy's like, oh my gosh. The referee jumps in. And me, because you guys know I'm always smiley and I'm laughing. He grabs me and I'm start laughing. I'm like, ref, what are you doing? You know, like, what you doing? And he just holding me and like wouldn't let go. And I'm like, so is this a stoppage or are you just grabbing me because the fight is over? And he just kept saying, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. What a bizarre.
Yeah. Situation. Exactly.
It sounds like it was a very shady deal.
Not just me, but a lot of other people didn't get paid.
Hmm.
I wasn't really complaining because it's an exhibition and it's for charity. So I'm like, I will do that. You know, that's what we do. I'm from the circle. Hmm. You know, if it's a charity event, you know, if it's for a cause, okay, that's great. But don't, at the last minute, switch it up. This is a real fight. And then put it on our records. You guys pushed me off the top 10. And this was supposed to be an exhibition.
Right. Like,
I didn't sign any papers. I didn't have a doctor. The doctor actually told me, do you have medicals? I said, no. He looked back. He looked right. He was like, okay, go away. I'm like, all right, so this is an actual exhibition fight because I'm not doing nothing. I don't know how that stuff works. I didn't sign no papers. Then
you should contest it and say that it wasn't even you because, like I said, I thought I'd said Sean Owens, not Sean Owens. Be like, get that off my box, Rick. It wasn't even me.
Well, but do you have some recourse there as far as contesting it? And I know it probably sucks to if you have to get lawyers involved and everything like that, but
Mexico.
I talked to the promoter and he was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. But he never got back to me or anything. He was saying like, oh, Mexico City don't, you know, switch, they don't pretty much contest. Like when people contest, they don't do that because in Mexico, they don't never complain or contest about a fight. I didn't really make it a huge issue because, like I said, I don't know what open sparring is like. Do they make another? Because you know how, like, if you look on BoxRec, people have, like, multiple, you know, what they do under their name. Mm-hmm. It'll say pro box and amateur box. It'll say the boxing league thing. And also, I think it's like an MMA thing or tough man or something like that. The open hand fighting.
Mm-hmm.
On my pro box, it has a question mark and it's red. And if you look on like the event, it's only me and him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, now, why the hell would you guys put that on there if this fight isn't real?
Right.
And that's what made me pissed. I never said nothing because it was an exhibition fight. And it took them a month and a half to actually put it on there. And that's what makes me pissed. Why do I have a L if it's an exhibition?
Right.
It's a good question. Yeah. You know, the BoxRec is interesting. Like, I'm curious as how, I don't know. Like, Jake Wagner would be a good person to ask because I know he does a lot of edits for Minnesota fighters, you know, when he's doing research and stuff with his historian work. And he's done a lot on BoxRec. Basically, I think he's done probably more for Minnesota fighters on BoxRec than anybody. So he would know, I think, how that works. Or if he doesn't know, he could probably ask someone, because I'm just curious, like, what is the criteria, you know, like when these guys, when the commissions submit their report, You know, I don't know how that works. You know, does it go straight to BoxRec or does it go somewhere else? Then they get it. And what does it say? You know, do they vet it at all? Is it just like, no, it came from the commission, so it's good?
Yeah. So I had actually spoke to someone. I think that might be the guy you were talking about, but I spoke to someone about that. But I did mention that it was an exhibition fight. Because I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I had a fight in Mexico, and apparently it's not technically a real fight because, you know, we didn't sign anything. No blood work, no eye exam, no anything. And he was like, I can't really tell you much because I only focus on Minnesota. I'm not international. But whatever happens in Mexico, it happens in Mexico. And a lot of people were just saying that's how Mexico is. They're pretty dirty. You know, yeah, so
I believe that. What about, I mean, BoxRec is one thing, but what about the major sanctioning bodies, WBA, WBC, IBF, et cetera? Are they listing that as a loss, or that's what matters, right?
You know, I think it's probably not even associated with those big alphabet soups. It's, you know, here it'd be our state commission. Down there in Mexico, I'm sure it's the same. They probably have a local municipality or their local state that has a commission, you know, and.
But what I'm saying is if it's affecting your ranking, Deshaun, then isn't that something that would be up to the sanctioning bodies that you really care about? I mean, you're a PBC guy, right? Don't they have some influence there?
They can look at it, but I think the thing about that is they don't know. They don't really know. And so when they come back, they're probably going to be like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can probably check into it and look. But it has to be somebody with really strong, you know, ranking over Mexico to let them know, like, this, you know, needs to come off because it wasn't a real fight.
Can't get it to come off. I know they add notes sometimes. And maybe that's an option to be like, okay, if you can't take it off, at least add a note saying that it was an exhibition fight. The commission on BoxRec, it does say that it was a federal commission. It says Commission de Box Distrito Federal. So that's the commission that was in charge. And I'm sure they're the ones who submitted the information to BoxRec. But yeah, if you can't get it off, that's the route I think I would do. I mean, if you can't sue them, if you can't get it off, then I would at least see if BoxRec could amend your fight there to have a note. But yeah, like I said, I don't know. I'm a member of Ibro, and I know the founder or the guy who's in charge of BoxRec's on there. I mean, I can write him and ask him.
I think the big issue here, right, is how this will impact your ability to get other opportunities, right? And you know, hopefully the people who will make those decisions won't be savvy enough to know that this was BS. And
right.
So,
absolutely.
But, if I would have known like that, this was like a actual fight.
Mm-hmm.
I would have crushed the kid.
Oh yeah. Like,
look at the amount of people that I fought, win and loss. And with this, you know, it's like, you guys tell me, like, I don't know if he probably said that just so I don't, you know, get the kid out of there or whatever. Because, like I said, to me, it was sparring. To me, it was a sparring. You told me it's an exhibition. It's a sparring fight. You know, I don't know if... I just don't know that exhibitions is supposed to be on your record. I don't know. It was a lot going on there. I told him, if this is put on my record... I'm very competitive. I don't care if, you know, like, if I had, you know, if I want all W's on there. I'm a competitive fighter. I'm a winner. Sure. You know, I did not have that winner mindset in there because he told me it wasn't serious. Right. And it won't be on my record. But after the fight, everything changed. His whole mind changed. And so, and when other fighters said that they didn't get paid and they were told something else, I'm like, we got screwed.
Yeah.
You don't see nobody else on the box rec. And technicality, that fight should be diminished and I should get suspended. Like I said, because my L's was expired. You know, that's why they pushed the exhibition, because it wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be able to fight if all my stuff was, you know, you know, up to date.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, right? I guess.
Exactly. So yeah. That's what he explained, because, you know, all your, you know, all my stuff. He was like, don't worry about all of that. You know, that's what he told me straight up. Don't worry about none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what made the conclusion. We're just going to do this and, you know, make the crowd, because they needed me there. I was like on televised, the main event. And if I didn't show up, the clout, the fans, the attention, you know, would have dropped, you know, when before the fight, I did a small little promotion for the company. It wasn't necessarily for me. It was for the company. But after the fight, I haven't heard nothing from them.
Well, it sounds like you have a situation here where they're trying to build up this kid you fought, Guerrero or whatever his name is, and now say, hey, look, he beat Bishan, a name opponent here. It sounds like that's what's going on. And unfortunately, you're making you look bad. But
yeah, it made me look bad. Like, it really did. Like, if I knew that this was like just a pure setup, I would have got the kid out of there, or I just would have went straight home. Right. I didn't need it.
I believe,
you
know, that
you guys need it. I helped out the company. Mm-hmm. I gave you guys fans. I gave you guys clout. I gave you guys what you needed. I would have had you guys a lot of opportunities. I'm with PBC. I could just get another fight and I'm going to be in the top 10 already with PBC. I didn't need you guys. You guys needed me. You know, I'm not really too much complaining. You guys noticed I wasn't really talking too much about the fight. The thing was, I was more focused on the aftermath. I was focused on, like, what's going to happen next. I haven't heard anything. I thought I was going to get suspended. I thought these guys was going to suspend me, the Commission of Minnesota or whoever runs the international part, because I didn't have my papers set up.
Is that still a concern?
If they look into it, I mean, now, you know, now that this is recorded and I told you guys, and I'm actually getting a message from one of the guys that didn't get paid. He just messaged me on WhatsApp. So, and he, you know, he's pretty furious as well. You know, he was like, what? He was telling me, I didn't know anything that the promoter told you all of that before the fight.
Did they have a good crowd there?
They had a good crowd. You know, my wife
told me. Someone made money.
Yeah, my wife told me that the tables was $1,000 a piece and they were all filled up.
Wow.
But the promoter after the fight was like, this was a low budget fight and I don't have the money to pay for you. And so I'm like, I went out there, I get stopped, and you guys don't pay me. But I wasn't, like I said, I was not complaining and didn't say anything, because I was told it's an exhibition. That's why I wasn't really mad. But when I saw that they put that L on my record on the 17th of January, when the fight was on the 2nd.
Of December.
December. It was December 2nd. And now it's on my record. It happened like 2-3 days ago. That pissed me off.
Well, that's crazy. That I don't blame you for that. And I'd be furious. I thought you sent a message that they were going to have a no contest.
Because it was an exhibition. Right, that's what I was talking about. But then he switched it up and was like, oh, you know, he was talking about the alien. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, you guys need to get that off. My team is not gonna agree with that. You need to get that fight off. If you guys are gonna actually put the fight on, it needs to be a no contest. Because you know that guy hit me after the bell. The fight was over with. Why are you still punching? And what the hell is the ref doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
After the fight, I didn't speak to anybody besides my team, the fans. The fans were, you know, that's one thing that I love about Mexico, that the fans, they love action. They love fights.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys surrounded me. Took pictures, signed autographs on people's shirts and papers and stuff. They had the what is it called? Not the poster, but
what's the program?
I guess you can say the poster. Mm-hmm. Posters of me and asking signs, you know. And so that was just one thing that I loved about those guys. They love me. I love the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they almost treated me like I won. They didn't.
It's just you. It sounds like a situation where they wanted to tell you that it's an exhibition, so you wouldn't go in there with the mindset of a fighter, right? So you wouldn't go in there trying to knock the kid out. But then the kid hits you on the back of the head. That's an excuse for the referee to stop the fight. Boom, TKO for the other guy. That just sounds. It sounds like they're just trying to build this kid up, you know, at your expense, unfortunately, in this case.
I did a little Google search. I was just curious. I just typed in Vishanta's name in Mexico City, and I didn't even realize that there was a little blurb about this fight in Ring, you know, Ring on Ring TV. Now they're not a paper magazine anymore. And it's got a picture of the kid you fought, or this Heriberto Flores, and it says he stopped Vishan Owens in 8 rounds in Mexico. And it was by someone named Francisco Salazar who submitted it. And it's about a pair, like three little blurbs. Says it dropped Vishan en route to a knockout win in the eighth. It says Owens was Flores' most accomplished opponent. Yeah, no doubt about that.
It was just too much stuff that people were saying that just didn't really matter, or I didn't pay attention to. Because what I was told, it was like, bro, we're sparring. Why does it effing matter?
Right.
But I don't know. I just.
That's crazy.
It's, you know, I speak as the kid or any, you know, I didn't say nothing once about, you know how people when they lose, like, oh, he was trash any goddamn way. I never said any of that, but. If you guys have to go to this level to build a fighter up, mm-hmm. he's not going to last long.
Right. Yeah.
Getting back to your surgery, Vishan, you know, you said you had surgery today and a couple hours ago. So we're obviously hopeful that you have a speedy recovery. Mm-hmm. Now you said recovery time is estimated about 6 months. How long before you can, I mean, obviously you can do some exercises and stuff, but how long before you can actually get back to boxing training? Is that after 6 months? So you can only exercise really for 6 months, or how can you break that?
I can only exercise, you know, run, do the regular stuff, but far as like sparring, yeah, they said 5 to 6 months, but it's based on how fast you heal. Because I had surgery before and it was about 4 to 5, but they always put it to 6 just to be safe. So I could still train and everything, but this whole not able to see thing, and I can't be around too much light. That's why I got all this stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably going to be like a week.
Mm.
So
What do you think about kind of unrelated, you know, to sidestep a second from your situation about Errol Spence and his situation? Because how his situation is a little different, right? I mean, you said you think you had to detach retina. I think he had a cataract on his eye.
He had a detached retina too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had a detached retina from sparring, just like I did. So me and his situation is kind of similar. Mm-hmm. He had cataracts, and I actually did too. You know, so that's what the correction is for. So after the detached retina, it actually destroys your vision. Not too much, but it's bad. And not to like defend his, you know, complaint, I completely understand him, because after my detached retina, the surgeon did say, you're going to need to get, you know, this isn't done. You have to get, you know, a correction because of cataracts. And it's going to, you're pretty much just going to be, it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And what Errol Spence did, he just kept going. Same mm-hmm. thing I did. We mm-hmm. knew of the situation, but we kept going. Fighting in there when you can't see, it's very, it's exciting, but it's dangerous. It's exciting, but it's dangerous. It heightens.
I got a medical question about that, as far as getting, you know, licensed to fight, because there, you know, not to pick on Errol, but it brought up this question about, you know, people were saying, well, how is he even fighting? And I want to say maybe it was Ishay Smith. Somebody was posting actual, like, what the contract form looks like for the medical. For the optical, and it'll list on there things like cataracts and stuff like that. And at least in Vegas anyway, and they're like, and he said, it's serious, like an eye exam. He said, it sucks. He says, you got to get your eyes dilated. I hate it. And stuff like that. And you know, you're a fighter who's been all over, you know, can you give a little bit of a explanation? Is there a difference between commissions on that and the severity of like how they check? Obviously we know Mexico didn't check, they didn't get any medical forms for you, so we know that sucks. But here in the States, is there varying, you know, degrees? Is like one state stricter than another as far as medical?
Yeah, care? Yes. And like I said, I was after this fight, I was actually told when I went to get my eye exam as well, there's a possibility that you're not going to be able to fight, or the commission isn't going to let you fight, because my vision actually got bad. It got worse. And I just kept going like an idiot, just like Earl. We just kept going. Certain states just don't approve of it. Some don't even look past it. They just, oh, okay, whatever. When I had got that detached retina, California probably, you know, I'm not going to actually speak about, you know, the inside game of boxing, you know, how it is and what things work, but certain places allow it, certain places don't. Shit, you can fight with one eye, you know, hanging out.
Well, the thing I kind of took away from the form, you know, I know he was pointing out that it was on there, you know, that they're basically saying like you have to disclose it, but I'm thinking, yeah, well, what if they don't? You know, what if a fighter doesn't disclose it? It's like, you know, they're just going to get licensed. I mean, how are they going to find out, you know, until you have to have surgery, you know? And if you're a big time fighter, then it becomes known. Is that something that you think is a possibility for someone like Errol? Like maybe they just didn't disclose it. I mean, I don't want to pick on Errol. Like I said, he's a great fighter. And I wish him to heal, you know, soon. I'm worried about him fighting Bud again, man. Cause I mean, that was a great fight. I mean, it was one-sided fight, but it was still a good fight. It was fun to see Bud do his thing. But I don't want to see Errol get hurt, you know?
Me neither. You know, I've always been a big fan of Errol since the amateurs. My wife loves amateur, loves Earl's style, and you know their camp. You know, and seeing him like that, I was like, damn, this is an amazing fight. But I'm like, damn, I love both fighters. I look up to both of them, You know, Terrence Crawford camp is actually really close with our camp. You know, Adonis speaks to Terrence coach a lot. You know, being in the Midwest, we're like a family. We're like a family, but, you know, we got to, you know, do business. You know, one of the fighters from Terrence gym came and sparred Jamal, I think, last year. You know, so that's to where it's like, fights like that, I don't have a pick. You know, I'm a huge fan of Earl, and we're close with Bud's gym. You know, but seeing a fighter like that and then finding out, like, damn, dude, you weren't supposed to be fighting. You know, that car crash, the two of them, and then he had the surgery. He was supposed to have another surgery and didn't do it. It's like, you know, it does fall on him, but that's, like I told you guys earlier, we're warriors.
Well, when he came back from that car crash and fought Ugas, I think the whole world was like, okay, never mind. Like, he's good, because not only did he win, I mean, he looked amazing.
I don't, but, you know, to me, something just didn't seem right with with Earl. You know, he is, it's like he tried to change up his style. I don't know if you guys realize, but after, no, during that fight and, you know, going on, his defense kind of changed a little bit. Did you notice that, like, he tried to put his hand up and do the Philly shell? I don't know if people noticed that.
No, I noticed that.
His hand placements was different. His eye awareness was different. You know, it's certain things that, like, you know, I'm a huge student. I've been watching and analyzing fights for an extremely long time. And I noticed his foot placement, the way his move his head, his punching ability, it all didn't seem the same anymore. And he just wasn't moving his head.
Interesting.
Yeah, just go back. If you see it, if you look at him when he fought that fight, but when you see a fight when he fought, I would say Kell Brook, but it just didn't seem the same to me. You know, and then he fought Garcia. I'm just like, I don't know. And my last thought before those two fought, I'm just like, if he fights like that, he's going to get crushed. Wow. And look what happened.
But hey, Vishan, getting back to your situation, I'm curious where your mindset is. It's, you know, obviously this was a screw job, what happened in Mexico. Are you just, where is your head now? Are you just wanting to heal up and get better and then move on from this? Or what are you thinking?
It didn't, I was pissed. I was upset because, like I said, I'm a competitor. You know, I don't even like losing in sparring matches. If we're hitting the bag, I'm going to hit the bag harder and faster than you.
I've noticed that. I've seen you spar Jamal, and neither of you guys hold back.
Yeah, like, I'm competitive. Even if it wasn't an actual fight, I don't want to lose. And that's what made me complain.
Right.
You know, and then seeing this L drop, it really pissed me off. You know, I got upset. I got hurt because I'm like, damn, this promoter said he got me. He's going to do what he has to do. But in the back of my head, why is this such a huge issue if it's an exhibition. So I was assuming, well, I guess exhibition fights probably do count. I don't know. But it does piss me off. It makes me angry. It makes me more hungry. It doesn't like, oh, okay, now I'm going to just fight everybody and be a journeyman. I still have an opportunity. I'm still in the top 20, you know, in the country. I got to go back to the lab and I have to work on things. And it doesn't make me, you know, defeated. It makes me more hungry. And if you guys noticed, I don't know if you guys started to notice, these O's doesn't count anymore.
I personally don't think Brian and I really put much stock in that, but I know what you mean. Like in boxing, it seems like there's so much emphasis on the O, or at least there was. And to your point now, it's like to make the fights, it's like, come on, guys. I think the public and the media, everyone's starting to say it's like an O doesn't matter, you know? It's not the end of the world, you know? You can learn from it. You can actually get better and come out better for it.
My favorite fighters, all, like most of them have L's.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best fighters ever have L's. I mean, some of them lost their first fight even, you know?
Yeah. Bernard Hopkins lost his first fight.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. Sugar Ray Robinson, when he lost to LaMotta, he came back, 6 weeks later and beat him or something? I mean, these guys, the old timers would just, you know, you take an L and then, let's go and get back in the gym and we'll fight again next week.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Some of them fought next week.
Yeah. I'm pretty crazy because I actually love that. The fact is, if you knock somebody out in the first or second round, why won't I fight, you know, within the same month?
When fighters get suspended, you know, the medical suspension after a fight for 30 days, I understand it if they lost, you know, but my rationale is probably not good because I'm not a fighter and, you know, or a former fighter, but you know, when you think, like you said, if you get out of a fight, you're not cut, you're healthy, and you're thinking, hey, why don't I just fight again soon, especially if an opportunity presents itself. But if you're suspended, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I suppose if it's not in the same country or, you know, wherever those commissions, the arm, wherever the suspension, you know what I'm trying to say? Like if you can get beyond its reach, you know, then maybe you could fight again, like going to another country like Mexico or another continent.
We don't want to go back to Mexico anytime soon.
No, I'm just using that as an example. But I mean, in the old days, there wasn't that. Like if you won and you cut and you were healthy, you could fight again right away. If that was what you wanted to do, it was your choice.
Yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, and to that, I'm not even suspended. So I could fight tomorrow if I didn't have surgery.
Right.
You know, Mexico didn't even suspend my license or whatever. Like I said, I didn't even have a license, so I don't know how that actually works.
Vishan, I know that you're a student of the sport and a big fan as well. I'm curious what you thought. Did you see the Beterbiev Callum Smith fight? And if so, what'd you think of that? I mean, to me, Beterbiev is just a beast.
He's going to take over the world. You can't beat him. Like, I've been watching him since the amateurs. He beat Michael Hunter in the Olympics at heavyweight, and now he's fighting at light heavyweight. I've been watching him for a long time, and he's an older guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, 37 maybe?
37, 38.
I think he's 38, and he said after the fight that he wanted to fight for 10 more years.
10 more years, right. He's in good enough shape. Maybe he can.
Yeah.
He joked 10 years. He said, obviously, that's what he wants now, but the body will tell him, you know, later.
Right.
Yeah, it's all on the body. And I think I'm probably going to be like that as well. I might stop fighting 39 or 40. You know, I turned pro at 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I fight, what? If you put it all together, you know, within the years, it's like two fights a year. You know, I'm 8 years in a game with 18 fights. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm pretty fresh. I don't have a lot of wear and tear. I'm very healthy. I think that's probably going to be my situation too. Should I probably be the next Bernard Hopkins or something? I don't know.
Right on.
You know, so that being said, like, I'm still going to be here, you know, 38, 39. I made a post, you know, when my eye is healed, he's going to get this work. You know, that used to be that was my slogan. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to get this work. I used to always say that every time. You know, you going to get this work. She going to get this work. His grandma going to get this work. Everybody going to get this work. That was my thing. But that animal that I once was, he's back.
Mm.
The animal is here, you know, and nobody's going to stop that.
Mm.
You know, and I do want to tell you guys, unfortunately, I will be moving to Houston.
Mm.
You know, my mom is sick.
Mm.
She said, you know, her last days, she wanted to be in the sun.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's good that you're going to be there with them.
Yeah. I told all of them. Yeah. They all know, they're fully aware of the situation. It's not like, you know, leaving them. You know, we're still going to be family. In a fairy tale world, I wish I could, like, you know, train, be in Houston, and then fight with the circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love them. I love them dearly. They're family to me. I was just talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really like my family. You know, they're so close to me. We talk all the time. We hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really tough to, like, leave. You know, I just telling Tankara before he got sick, I was like, you know, I don't want to leave at all. I can't leave you guys. I've been here since I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, this is what makes me love them so much. Adonis was like, you know, you did you for a long time, but you have to take care of your mom.
Right. Well, that's the important thing. Families, all that matters. I mean, that's the important thing. So, but you're going to still be family to us no matter what, no matter where you're living.
Of course. Yeah.
If a boxing family.
Yeah. If PBC, like, you know, allows me to, you know, fight in Minneapolis, if I get that call, like, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
My circle
Absolutely.
Shirt and everything. Like, yeah, let's do this.
Man, we wish you nothing but the best. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, obviously it sucks, you know, that your mom's not doing so well, but it's great that you're going to be there with her. I mean, because family's everything, man. So that's good that you're there with her. And like Brian said, absolutely. You're always going to be a Minnesota fighter to us. We'll still cover your fights. I mean, Marlon, mm-hmm. when he just came up, we were like, yeah, he's a Minnesota fighter. Man, you saw the love. You were there. I saw you on the second level. You know, everybody was happy to see Marlon. And likewise, you know, when Robert Brandt went down to Texas, you know, and now Morel's down in Texas, we still consider him Minnesota fighters. Zarazar is not in the state anymore, but we still show him love. It's like same thing, you know. It's like if you're a Minnesota fighter, you're a Minnesota fighter.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always going to be a Minnesota fighter.
Hey, before we let you go, Vishan, I wanted to. I saw you on social media, you had some Timberwolves gear on. Were you at the game recently? At the T-Wolves game?
Yeah, we were. We was at the Timberwolves game. It was like not courtside seats, but, you know, pretty much close to there. And and the funniest thing happened. One of the mascots, we were just sitting there talking like, man, I bet you those guys make a lot of money. I wonder who that is. It wound up actually being a family member. He was like, that was me. He was like, that was me there. And he took a picture of him with the mask off. I was like, what? You're the beast? I was like, dude, we were just talking about you.
That's crazy.
He was like, you guys didn't even notice me. I was waving at y'all. I was like, dude, I didn't know who you was. Like, if you took the mask off.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But no, I've been trying to catch as many games as I can this year, and they're having a great year, obviously.
They have an amazing year.
Did you see the I don't want to turn this into basketball talk, but did you see the dunk that Ant made?
Like, Ant bounced it off the backboard? I love that dude. He is crazy. Love him so much. That dude, he's gonna bring us back. You know, unfortunately, and you guys are probably like, what? I've been a Spurs fan.
Oh, really?
Since the 90s.
Oh, wow. David Robinson days?
David Robinson, yeah. Tony Parker, Ginobili. Yep. Those guys was like my team. And then when Tim came, when Duncan came, that Twin Towers duo with Tony Parker was amazing, and they had a crazy dynasty. So I got the hats, the jerseys. So if they actually come back, you cannot say I'm going to throw this out there right now before anybody say that I'm a bad bandwagon fan. Spurs, Pistons, and Timberwolves. Those are my teams.
Wow.
Pistons right now, you know, like they're just going through stuff right now. They're in the development stage. They will get their stuff going. Spurs is too, and the T-Wolves, you know, we getting there. So I got to start bringing out my T-Wolves jerseys, my old hat. You know, 100%. I probably need an update. I need an update. So,
did you see Stephen A. Smith is comparing Ant to Jordan already and Kobe?
So what do you think about that?
Not quite there yet.
He just needs time. You know, I had this conversation with him. He's definitely an old school, you know, fighter. I mean, I said fighter. He's an old school Cooper. He plays defense. He's a shooter. He's a dunker. He has post moves, amazing post moves. You don't see too many players with good post moves and back them down and hit them with the fade. You know, he shoots from all around, you know, the corner, you know, the top. He shoots mid-range jumpers. You know, he's in the post. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's an all-arounder. He's an old school. He just don't hit threes. He's not a guy that just only hits threes. Right. He does everything.
How long have you been a Pistons fan?
I was a Pistons fan. Bad Boys era.
They were rough, man.
I am a huge Dennis Rodman fan. When he was with the Pistons, when he's with the Spurs, when he was, people don't even remember he was with the Spurs. And then he went to the Lakers before he retired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really not just a team fan. I'm also a huge player fan. I don't care what nobody say. I am a huge Leonard fan. I love Kawhi Leonard. He's retro. I'm a huge defensive player.
Yeah,
you know,
Clippers.
Yeah, well, he's with the Clippers.
Vishon, you probably already know this, but I saw a reel on Instagram or somewhere where it was talking about NBA Jam, and you know where I'm going with this. where they was talking about the guy who put like some code in, who was like, you know, working on the game. And I think he hated the Bulls and he was a Pistons fan. And apparently if you're ever playing the Pistons and the Bulls, like the Bulls can't make a basket against the Pistons because he put in some code or something, the programmer.
That's crazy.
It's like the ultimate like low blow, but oh man, that's so funny.
That's crazy. I didn't know you guys was basketball fans.
You know, before the Timberwolves even existed, I was a Portland Trailblazers fan. I have family in Oregon, so you know, I go way back to, you know, when they were great in the 70s, man. I remember those teams. That's how old I am. But you know, the Bill Walton days and stuff. But
do you remember when the T-Bulls was they in LA or was they the Lakers? They was the Lakers.
The Lakers were first, yeah. It was
Lakers were here in Minneapolis, yeah, back in the day. And then the T-Wolves, I remember when they started out, they played their first season was in the Metrodome, which was kind of crazy. But yeah, anyway.
Well, I have to confess, Vishan, I'm not a basketball fan.
That's okay.
I know a little bit. Like when I was in younger, like I loved the Timberwolves, and like I went to like a dunk contest when I was younger, you know, like one of my sister's boyfriends brought me, and like I loved when we had guys like Spud Webb and you know, all that kind of stuff. Like he was my favorite. I love Spud. When we got him, he was great. He'd jump in the air, like wiggle, and somehow like make it another 5 feet in the air and dunk.
Yeah, that man vertical was crazy.
Oh yeah,
to have that type of height and that jumping ability, that is insane.
It is.
I need to go to a game though. I shouldn't say I'm not a fan. I give it crap.
You have to go.
If I go to a game, I'll have a blast.
We'll have to go.
You have to think about it. This is also history. We're going to end up going to the playoffs. The T-Wolves are in the playoffs and it's going to be in Minnesota. You're going to be part of history if you go. I am going.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how much the tickets cost. I'm going.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Vishan. Hopefully we'll hang on to that top seed in the Western Conference. And, you know, that would be sweet. I mean, there's some good teams, though, with Denver and the Clippers and, of course, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be easy, but I think we can do it.
I think we can do it. We've been staying on top of the game for a while. I don't see nothing stopping them until they touch the playoffs. You know, this is going to be their first or their second playoff run. They just have to get seasoned. It just takes time. You know, long as our GMs and the people that controls everything do not trade anybody, because we have a history. Yeah. T-Wolves have a history of trading their star player for a first round pick. And that pisses me off.
The Garnett trade to Boston was disastrous.
Do you remember when the year we had Johnny Flynn and five other players, and we could have got Steph Curry?
Yes, yes. Don't
Johnny
remind
Flynn
me.
For Steph Curry? Are you don't crazy?
Yeah.
Five point guards. We grabbed 5 point guards, and none of them was Steph Curry.
Right. I think we got Ricky Rubio around that time too.
Yep, we got Ricky Rubio. Yeah, I remember that. We did have him. But I just felt like, you know, and then we had K-Love, who was probably the best power forward at that time.
Right.
Kevin Love, but he didn't have anybody. Dude was making, you know, 30-20 a game.
Mm-hmm.
30 points, 20 rebounds, or 20 points, 30 rebounds. He didn't really have much help, you know.
Right.
But this year, I think we got it. We could do this. We can to the conference.
Yeah, if we can get past the Celtics, and well, that's if we get that far, that means we've made the finals. So let's see what happens. I mean, you know, you never know, the Celtics might get knocked off by someone else in the East. So
I tell you what, I said I'm not a basketball fan, but you, Vishon and Brian, you guys have sold me. If you guys are going to go, I'll go to a game with you.
I'm going to be really upset if you don't go. I'm going to be upset if you don't go. This is history, man. This is history.
Right on.
I'll go.
Okay, that's the deal. We got a deal. You go.
We're going to go to a game. Hey, Vishon, it's been great talking to you, man. Best wishes to you. Get well soon. Can't wait to see you back in there. Can't wait to see you at the fights if you're just showing up as a fan or whatever. So, yeah, all the best. All the best to you.
Yeah, it's always good seeing you, man. I think one of the last times I remember, other than the last time I just mentioned earlier, where it was the Morrell fight where I saw you on the mid-level, we bumped into you after another Morrell fight, I think, and it was at the post-fight press conference where you popped in, and we were just like, hey! We were so happy to see you. It's always good to see you. Like you said, you're always smiles, man, and, you know, it sucks that you had to have surgery, but it's good in the long run, right? Because you're going to get better from it. So we're looking forward to you coming out stronger on the other side, buddy.
Thank you so much. And, you know, like I said, regardless of the outcome, if you know, when I'm gone and, you know, I have to split ways or ties with my team far as the sport level, but, you know, outside of boxing, Minnesota, the circle, you guys are still my family and you guys are still going to see me. Like, I'm still going to pop up, you know, those press conferences, the fight. I'm still going to be there. Even, you know, if I'm capable of getting a fight, and if I'm not with the circle, I'm still, you know, I'm still family with them. Like, they're still going to always be my family, no matter what.
Absolutely.
100%.
And you know, I'm still a little upset that, you know, you haven't gone to a T-Wolves game.
We're going to remedy.
I was so proud of myself when I was younger, Vishon, because when I went to a T-Wolves game, I was in school, and I got tickets because I did a dare poster contest, you know, and I won tickets, and I got, like, the last row up in the nosebleeds. But it was so fun. And as an adult, I haven't really gotten to basketball. I loved basketball as a kid. I'd go play after school. And as I got older, I realized, number one, I sucked. But I was also short. You know, so I kind of obviously fell out of it. I got into other sports. Like I said, I will go to a game with you guys, man. If for nothing else, like you said, it's history. And it's, I know it'll be fun. Live sports is always fun. It doesn't matter.
Coach Q's a big basketball guy too, so maybe he can.
I've been watching DJ DeMille's feed too. He's been at all these games and hobnobbing with celebrities while he's there.
That's what's up.
But get better, man. I know you're medicated and after you've been laying there after your surgery, dude. And thank you so much for making time for us, literally right after your surgery. And like I said, man, get better soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.